So earlier, I was putting this wireless headset mic on, and I'm left-handed and left-eared. And David's right-handed and right-eared. And this thing doesn't really want to stay on my left ear too well. So I'm going to go into the manufacturing of left earpieces for us left-handed people out there. Amen. Wasn't it just a few short weeks ago that it was left-handers day? So I didn't get a present that day. Or any phone calls, but that's okay. It's great to be together. And I want you to think for just a moment. I want you to picture someone in your life that had a positive impact on you. Just take a minute to think about that. Who in your life has had a positive impact? Now, I didn't just say impact because, and I focused on the word positive because there's people in our lives that have had an impact in a negative way, that's another sermon, another time. But positive impacts in your life. Hopefully you have someone in your mind. I'm just going to tell you a few stories today, if you're fine with that. It's going to be a little bit different. Just going to share some things that have been going on in my life lately. Kind of give you a little back history if you don't know some of where I came from, that sort of thing. In 1997, I just finished my freshman year of college at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And we've had many of talks about how the Vols played so great Thursday night and just started the season awesome. Like, just no stress in my life. I just laid back and just my lazy boy and just watched an awesome, boring game. Anyhow, we got to win, which is awesome. But I just finished my freshman year of college. Then my sister and her husband were asked to move to Atlanta to start a campus ministry at Kennesaw State University. And they sat me down and they said, "Josh, we want you to know that we've been asked to move to Atlanta." I said, "Awesome. I'll miss you. But we'll hang here in Knoxville. We'll hold down the fort. Things will go well." We were a part of a small campus ministry of about 30, 35, 40 people. And they said, "Well, there's more to it. We want you to come with us to Atlanta." I said, "Oh." And so I prayed about it. I up and moved, left University of Tennessee, came to Atlanta, just worked for a year to get in-state residency, started school, taking part-time classes, paying as I could go at Kennesaw State. Became a part of a campus ministry here that was a little bit bigger than the 30-so in, Fenton's here. He's a good friend of mine, Georgia Tech, and we were in the campus ministry together. And 200-plus college students was the ministry that I came into from Georgia State, Georgia Tech, Emory, Kennesaw State, Morehouse, Spelman, just a wide variety of colleges around this area. And I, to say the least, I was overwhelmed coming in, wondering where I was going to fit in and how I was going to fit in. Could I make a difference? You know, I feel like I'm this little fish in this big pond. In this city, on these campuses, in our campus ministry, how can I make a difference? How can I make an impact? And I had a conversation with one of the leaders, and he says, "You have so much potential." If you've ever been told that before, that basically means there's so much hope for you, but you're doing diddly squat, right? And I was like, that hurt. Let me take the knife out. Okay. He goes, "You have the opportunity to be a man of great impact." And I walked away from that conversation, and I didn't really know exactly where to go and what to do with it. I did take that conversation to heart, though. I remember that, and I prayed about it. It stuck with me. You had those conversations before where someone says something, and it just keeps resonating with you. And that was me. I decided to study out a man that had the greatest impact ever. And if we were in the kids' classes right now, up in Kids Rock, who has the greatest impact ever on the face of this earth? God and Jesus, right? You are right. I decided I'm going to study out the life of Jesus, and I'll never forget that study. I'll never forget it. I don't think I've ever studied like that before in my life, breaking apart the life of Jesus. What amazing impact he had. this passage comes to mind. Actually, Jason Thompson read this a few months ago in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading out of the Message translation, so I've got it on the screen here for you. If you have the Message Bible, you're in luck. If not, just follow along with the screen. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. And he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, I don't know if any of us can relate to that at any point in our spiritual walk where we are flagging in our faith. If you find yourself there, here's what we can do. Go over that story again. Item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through. That, my fellow brothers and sisters, will shoot adrenaline into your souls. I'm done. Right? We're done. We're done before 11 today. Wow. I mean, guys, that's it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Study how he did it. If we want to make an impact in people's lives, that's what we need to do. Go over that story again and again. You guys have been around, many of you, for a long time. The challenge is not to let it grow stale. To not allow what Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, to fall on, been there, done that. It's so powerful. It's so amazing that we can make an impact just as he did. And that's what he wants from us. So I studied his life. I prayed, God, allow me to have an impact the way that Jesus had an impact. A few years later, Megan and I went into the full-time ministry. We were asked to lead Kennesaw State. We led that ministry for a couple of years. Had an awesome time. Then we were asked to move to Gwinnett to be a part of a young families group, a singles ministry. Many of you were a part of that at times, and I've married some of you. Officiated the wedding, not married. We're not that kind of church. Officiated your weddings. But then obviously been here for 11 plus years, serving in the full-time ministry, working with students, leading worship. God's definitely answered some of my prayers of putting me in the position to make an impact on people's lives, really through my job, through my career. Have you ever had that feeling where you feel like God wants you to have an impact beyond what you are currently doing? You ever feel that push? You ever feel that call? In different areas of my life, my everyday life, I felt like, Josh, there's more. There's more to what you can do. Because of what Jesus did, there's more than you can do. You can do more. Some of my prayers were, okay, I really want to be in the community. I want to be known, not for me and not for my glory, but I want to be able to share with people what God's done in my life and that people in my community know who I am. And for me, that was like school system. My boys in elementary school, high schools, right near my house. And it's interesting, the different scenarios that God's kind of put in my life and setting me up with different people that I can kind of know and have relationships with. Share one story real quick. Last year, our school, Parsons Elementary, started something called All Pro Dads. And this was a great opportunity for parents, doesn't necessarily have to be fathers, but parents, anyone that's a role model in their kid's life, to come and share breakfast together a couple of times a year. I think it was about five or six times we had different meetings on a Friday morning, 7:15 to 8:15. And a time to share a meal, and then just a time to talk and maybe get some spiritual lessons or character lessons But then the end, we would take some time to share. The parent would stand up and share about their kid and talk about how proud we are of them for different things. And for them to hear that, some of them probably for the first time, heard that their dad or their mom or their grandfather or their uncle was proud of them. And we were part of that, and it was great. The guy that was leading that, our chapter, transferred and moved out, and so there was an opening to be filled. And I'd always, you know, all pro dads, being a father, I love sports. It's a good fit for me. And the PTA president emailed me. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but watch out. PTA president, they got my number, got my email somehow. She said, Josh, this is what happened, and we would love for you to come in and lead this, be our team captain for the next year. And I'll tell you more later. I don't have time to go through it right now, but it was, we had our first meeting last Friday, and it was really special, really special. And I just thought about that. It's like God is allowing me, a broken person, doesn't have it all together, to make that kind of impact and to share. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Through our family, God, I want you to make an impact somehow through us, through the community, through the school, through, I spend a lot of time at Peachtree Ridge Park at the baseball fields. And there's been a group of men that have been praying together every Tuesday morning from 6:30 to 7:30 at Peachtree Ridge Park. And I had nothing to do with the location. I didn't plan it. It wasn't my thing. It's a good spot, because it's like less than a mile from my house, which is nice. But obviously, I spend so much of my time there, it just has a special place. Totally think it's a God thing. I've had some great moments there, some great memories, also some not great moments. I think I shared about that when I preached about us being broken and how I'm broken and my attitude as a coach, really having to learn some things about my character and how I was going to represent Jesus. And so I had to really take some inner look inside of me and say, okay, Josh, who are you reflecting here? And really had some good prayers about that, some good discussions. As we continued to pray week after week, I began, God, help our family make a positive impact here at this park. Over the summer, we did Family Matters. Over the month of June, those Wednesday nights in June, had some amazing lessons from people coming in, sharing things with us. Well, that the beginning of June was the end of our season in baseball, and we had all of our team parties. And so Megan and I prayed about it and said, look, we want to invite everyone on our teams, every family, to come to this. And we did. We had a great response in terms of people were very interested. One family, they signed up before we even signed up. It was kind of cool. So he was like, who's this? Oh, that's our friends. That's awesome. They signed up and they started coming. And many of you might have seen them over the past few weeks. So since then, they've been coming. They're not here this week. They're out of town. His name is Alan. Erica and their son Brian have been coming. And Alan and I coach. We're head coaches together on Brady's team. They started coming and they absolutely love it, guys. Absolutely love it. Their son Brian cannot wait to come to church with Brady, to be a part of what we have here. It's given us an opportunity to share with Brady and teach Brady and train Brady of how to look after someone. And it's not just about you. It's about, look, you got a friend coming. Let's make sure you include him. Think about him. We'll save him some seats. Be a good example. It's been really cool. So that's one way. I think God's just another impact. His life carrying on in us. At one of our prayer gatherings a few weeks ago, we had some time to pray by ourselves. So I hopped in my car, because we were at Peachtree Ridge Park, and decided to drive down. It's a little bit too far of a walk to get there and back by the time our prayer time was up. But I decided to drive down to the baseball fields where the boys play. And I had one of these moments, and I'm not saying that I heard the voice of God come down and speak to me and said, Josh, you know. But I did. It was really cool. I was driving, and I remember exactly where I was going on the track to the ball fields. And I envisioned Jesus having this conversation with me. And this is a passage in John 4. It's up on the screen. John 4, 35. It's like Jesus looking at me saying, Josh, open your eyes and look at the fields. Baseball fields in my case. They are ripe for harvest. And as I was driving to the field, I just said, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. They're people that are looking for what we have at Cornerstone. A sense of family, where we know one another. You know the leadership. The leadership knows you. That weekend, 4 days after that Tuesday, I had the opportunity to go to a great birthday party with my boys. You gotta love those, right? Those birthday parties. And we had like three in one Saturday a couple weeks ago. But that day, on that Saturday, 4 days after this time of prayer, I sat with three families while our kids were playing, and just the door opened up. Conversations started to being had. Actually, one of the girls was running by, and she was talking about going to see one of her friends get baptized, and she wanted to get baptized. And the mom was like, "Oh, that's a big thing, you know. There's more to it than that to me." And Josh, don't you work at a church? And what do you guys do? And I was able to share with them what we're about, what Jesus is about. They were like, "We don't want to feel just like a number. Where I go, I feel like I'm a number. No one really, really don't even know that I'm there. I walk in, I walk out." She goes, "I'd like for the leadership to kind of know who I am, know a little bit about me, and know my family." And we had just had Fam Jam the night before, the crazy hair, pink hair. You know, we all had to go get haircuts and all that jazz. I still had the pink scalp, and I showed them. I said, "Look, right here, I have this pink still in my hair from last night. We had an event for our families that are kindergarten through fifth grade, and it was a blast." I shared about how Alan and Erica, they know Alan and Erica, how they've been coming out and how they've just been completely tied in. And without fail, I think every week when they're here, David will at least go over and have a conversation and know their names. The leadership that we have here, the family feel that we have here. And it's not that we have it all together, right? I mean, we're broken people, imperfect, but I'm reminded that people are searching for more. And I believe God is putting people in our paths. He's calling us to open our eyes and look at the fields. Help show people Jesus through our lives, through our fellowship. I think we all have that in common, how we all want to make a difference, don't we? We all want to make an impact. It's like, okay, where, God? Where is that going to happen? Where is your field? Where do you need to look to make a lasting impact on someone's life? Obviously, if you're kind of in our family situation, our demographics, kids at home, look at the ball fields, look at the dance studios, look at the gymnastics, Cub Scouts, look for ways at your schools and not to serve and to volunteer. And I know many of you are doing that. I think just don't underestimate the power of what God can do through you. Others of you maybe don't have kids at home. It seems like, oh, where are my fields? This is where I come. I go to work. Well, open your eyes and look. God's got you there. Maybe it's at the gym in your Zumba class. I don't know. Maybe it's at the park, just going on your nice evening stroll together as a family, you and your spouse. Maybe it's at the old grocery store, old Publix or Kroger. I don't know. I don't know where it is. You might have to work just a little bit harder. Actually, better yet, I think we just need to pray a little bit harder. Yep. For God to open up our eyes to see what he's doing, because God's always at work. Amen. As I mentioned, Jesus had the greatest impact, and I decided I'm going to study Jesus. You see it through his life. You see it through his message, see it through his actions, which ultimately led him to be crucified, to be buried in a tomb, and then to miraculously rise again. So this morning, as we get ready to take communion, I've got a couple things I want you to do. Number one, I want you to fix your eyes, or in the message it says, keep your eyes on Jesus. As you spend some time in prayer, focus on the impact that, number one, he's had in your life, how his life has changed your life forever. And number two, I want you to think about and pray for your eyes to be opened. Look at the fields. Don't just stop at what Jesus did for you, but pray for the opportunities to make a lasting impact on others' lives as well. Amen. Let's pray.